Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Gimel. We left off actually on top of Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by two separate sponsors. First is sponsored by Shragi Brill, the Zecher, the yard site of his father, Tzvi Hirsch ben Reb Shraga Leib, and in honor of the yard site, which is being observed today. Shragi's father's neshama should have a continued aliyah in the schus of our learning, and we thank Shragi very much for the sponsorship. It's also sponsored by the Newman family, the schus of refuah shleima for Avishai's father, Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida, and we hope that his father has a refuah shleima in the schus of our learning and tfilos, and we thank the Newman family very much for the sponsorship as well. So yesterday, we finished off a discussion of whether we're afraid. We saw the Mishnah about what happens if there are two Yosef ben Shimons who live in the same city. Are they allowed to be motzi shtar chov zeh al zeh? Are they allowed to present a promissory note one to the other? Can somebody present a promissory note to one of the Yosef ben Shimons, or can each one point to the other guy and say it was him, it wasn't me? And then can one of them present a promissory note against someone else? So, or are we afraid that that he actually wasn't the malveh, rather the other one was the malveh? We brought down the case where a loveh has a shtar that says, I, so-and-so, owe a certain amount of money to whoever bears this shtar. So are we afraid that the shtar fell and that the actual bearer of the shtar is somebody else or not? So today we're going to continue with a machlokes. We're going to see a machlokes that maybe says that Yosef ben Shimon's are not able to present a promissory note against another person, which seems to be against our Mishnah. So we'll explain what the basis of this machlokes may be. That discussion is going to take us to the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Chayin Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah is then their series of Mishnayos here. The first Mishnah towards the bottom is going to say what happens, it's going to talk about what happens if somebody says that one of my shtaros, one of the shtaros that I have in my possession has already been repaid. Which shtar is it? Or do we assume that all shtaros in his possession have already been repaid? And then the Mishnah all the way at the bottom is going to start a discussion that's going to take us until the end of this year, and really this topic is going to last until the end of the Masechta, which we'll be finishing, God willing, on Monday, and that's the concept of Arev, the concept of a guarantor of particular relevance to this shul as we search for personal guarantors to backstop a construction loan. So we'll see what exactly you need, what level of das you need in order to accept on yourself, what the nature of a guarantee is. Is it a primary obligation? Is it a secondary obligation? There's a reason that we wanted to structure it as a secondary obligation. It's founded in the Gemara. So we'll see all of this. So Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, top of the Amud. So says the Gemara, Ve'ela hod detanya kishem she'ein motzien shtar chov zeh al zeh, kach ein motzien al acherim. So if However, we see a braisa that says just like one Yosef ben Shimon can't present the shtar chov against the other one because we don't know who the malveh is, we don't know who the loveh is. And the guy holding the shtar claims that he's a malveh, but he well could be the loveh, and now he's presenting a shtar chov against the other Yosef ben Shimon trying to collect from him illegally. So kach ein motzien al acherim. So too, either of these Yosef ben Shimon's cannot present the shtar chov against someone else. So says the Gemara, but my kamiflagi, this appears to argue on our Mishnah, and so what is the basis of this machlokes? The Rashbam explains, it can't be that they're arguing about whether we're chayshina and lenafila, because we already said in the bottom of yesterday's daf, that even if we may generally be afraid that the bearer of a shtar is not the actual creditor, because it may have fallen from somebody's possession, we are not afraid that somebody named Yosef ben Shimon would drop a shtar and that shtar would be found by somebody else named Yosef ben Shimon. So if we're not afraid of that, why can a guy named Yosef ben Shimon cannot collect against somebody else with a shtar chov? Says the Gemara, but osios niknos b'mesira kamifli, because they're arguing about osios niknos b'mesira. So what does that mean? So tana didon sovar osios niknos b'mesira. Our tana in the Mishnah holds that osios niknos b'mesira again, and that means that if you have a shtar chov, which is considered to be osios, because it's not considered to be like tangible property, it's more a zchus in the shtar. Niknos b'mesira means that if you give over the shtar chov to somebody else, then the recipient of that shtar chov can now collect with the shtar chov. So basically what our Tana is saying is, we don't know whether this Yosef ben Shimon who is presenting the promissory note for payment is actually the Yosef ben Shimon who was the original Malveh. But what we do know is that if this Yosef ben Shimon is now bearing the shtar, then he was kone the entitlement to the loan when the original Yosef ben Shimon Malveh gave him the shtar, because Osios Niknos b'Mesira, so he steps into the shoes effectively of the Malveh, and therefore he's able to collect whether he's the original Malveh or not. We don't really care. The Tana Brosavar, but the Tana of the Braisa holds, Ein Osios Niknos b'Mesira. He holds, Ein Osios Niknos b'Mesira, that the entitlement to collect the loan cannot be transferred merely with the transfer of the Shtar Chov. Rather, you would require another kinyan. How would that other kinyan be effectuated? The Rashbam says the other kinyan would be effectuated by writing another shtar along with the shtar chov that says that I hereby give this shtar chov to the other Yosef ben Shimon. So if it turns out that Enosios Niknos b'Mesira and the Yosef ben Shimon is holding the shtar can't bring this other shtar kinyan as a raya, we don't know that this Yosef ben Shimon is the actual lender. And because we don't know that this Yosef ben Shimon is the actual lender, we are not going to allow him to collect the loan. So maybe that's the machlokas, says the Gemara. Biba Seima, or perhaps the machlokas is like this. The Kuli Alma Osios Niknos b'Mesira. Everybody agrees that Osios Niknos b'Mesira, that even if this Yosef ben Shimon, who's holding the promissory note, is not the original lender, if he receives the promissory note from somebody, then he steps into the shoes of the Malveh, because Osios Niknos b'Mesira, that right can be transferred simply through Mesira, simply through handing over, and he is now entitled to collect from the borrower. V'hacha b'tzarech lahavi raya k'miflegi. Over here they're arguing about whether you have to bring a raya. So how do you bring a raya? So you would bring a raya either with edim or similar proof that you are actually the malveh in the shtar. So the Rishonim explain that the only time you have to bring proof that you're entitled to collect on the loan is when it's apparent that you're not the original lender. For example, if you claim that you're not the original lender, but that you inherited or that you somehow obtained the right to collect from the original lender, well, then you're going to have to prove that you actually did acquire rightfully that right to collection. Or, for example, in our case in the Gemara, where there are two people by the name of Yosef ben Shimon, where it's a little bit vague, it's a little ambiguous as to whether you might be the original lender. Therefore, you might have to bring a raya that you have an entitlement to collect. However, the Rishonim explained that if there's no basis for believing that you're not the original lender, then we wouldn't force you, like, if you're a guy and you're the only guy in your community with that name, so it's not mistaber that you got the shtar from anybody else, because there's nobody else with your name, and you don't claim that you got it from somebody else, you're stama malveh, that you don't have to then bring proof that you're the malveh, because there's no ambiguity latent in the case. Over here, there's a latent ambiguity, because there are two Yosef and Shimons, they're arguing, do I have to bring proof? Satana didan savar, ain't sarach lavi raya. Why can the other Yosef and Shimon collect with a shtar? Because osios niknos b'mesira, and you don't have to bring a raya to substantiate that. But Tana bro savar tzarech lavi raya, and this Tana of the Braisa holds that you do have to bring a raya. So in other words, the machlokas between our Mishnah and this Braisa is if the tfisas hashtar, if simply holding on to the shtar, is considered to be a chazaka over the milveh, over the entitlement to collect the loan, just like a tfisa over any metaltolin is going to, that just like the tfisa over any metaltolin is going to constitute a chazaka that's going to prove that the thing is his, or if there is a distinction to be drawn between a shtar chov and regular metaltolin, because by regular metaltolin, what you're trying to be tofes, what you're trying to be muchzak over, is the actual thing. By the shtar chov, what you're trying to be muchzak over is not the guf hashtar, it's the entitlement that the shtar entitles you to. It's the schus in the shtar. So that schus in the shtar perhaps can't be acquired merely by a chazaka, merely by a tfisa, but you have to bring edim, you have to bring some other raya that you're actually entitled to it. Right, so maybe that's the machlokas, explains the Gemara Ditmar, and now we bring support for this. Osios niknos b'mesira, that osios are niknos b'mesira, that's everybody holds, but avaya amar tzarech lavi raya, rav amar ain't tzarech lavi raya. Now, within this shita, Abaya says that you have to bring a raya, that you actually took the entitlement to the loan, and Rava says that you don't have to bring a raya. So Amar Abaya, mina amina la, how do I know that I have to bring a raya? Titanya, because we learn the following. Echad mina achin she'ashtar chov yotze mitachas yado. Let's say you have a couple of brothers who all inherit their deceased father, and one of the brothers has in his possession a shtar chov saying that so-and-so owes money to their deceased father, and he claims that the father gave that son alone, that shtar, as a matana kodem misa, or that it was written in as part of the Yerusha directly to go to that son. So that son, who's now holding the shtar, wants to collect the entire balance of the loan. So says the Gemara, a lav lahavi raya, that he has to bring a raya, that the father actually gave him the full entitlement to collect the loan. That's how Abaya says, that's how I know, that even though Osios Nikos Mimesira, the guy has to bring, the bearer of the shtar has to bring a raya. So says the Gemara, so my love, hu adin lachrine, so isn't this the same halacha for other people, that if other people also claim that they're entitled to collect on account of a shtar chov, that they also have to bring a raya? So Rava Amar, and Rava says, no, shani achin deshamtu me'adadi. Brothers are different because when they're fighting over the Yerusha, they're prone to snatch things from one another. And therefore, if one brother claims that he's entitled to collect that he's entitled to the entire proceeds collected on account of the shtar, only in that case does he have to bring a raya. In the regular case, however, he would not have to bring a raya. And Ika d'Amri, others say that the proof is brought like this. Amar Rava, mina amina la, how do we know this? Tatanya, how do I know that you don't have to bring a raya? Because it says, Echa mina achen sheshtar chov yotze mitachas yado, alav lahavi raya, that by one of the brothers, if the shtar chov falls from his hand, if he presents the shtar chov, then he has to bring a raya that he's entitled to collect the full amount of the shtar. And says the Gemara, the Diak is as follows. Achenu deshamtu me'adadi. It's only by the brothers that they have to bring a raya, because by the brothers they're prone to grab things from one another, and therefore they have to bring a raya that the one holding the shtar is actually entitled to collect the full amount of the shtar. Aval achrini lo, but by regular people who are not prone to grab things from one another and claim entitlements when they are not entitled to them truthfully, maybe you wouldn't have to bring a raya. So that's how Rava knows his shita. Vabaya achin itzrichale, and Abaya says no, other people vade have to bring a raya. The chiddush is that the brothers have to bring a raya. Why? Because salka daita chamina kibin the shamtu me'adadi, since brothers are prone to snatch things from one another, Ema Mizdar Zihire Velot Srichel Havi Raya, I might think that the brothers will be especially vigilant, and therefore they would never let this Shtar Chov get into the hands of only one of the brothers, unless the brother who's bearing the Shtar Chov was actually entitled to it. And therefore, I might think counterintuitive, but Dafka, by people who are so into each other's affairs, that the person holding the shtar doesn't have to bring a special raya. Kamash Malan, he does have to bring a raya. Okay, so how do we prove then, Tzorech Lavi Raya or not? Ve'elohad Zetanya, so that's the machlokas that we saw, Abai and Rava, whether Tzorech Lavi Raya or Ain Sarach Lavi Raya. So it could be that everybody holds that Osios thinks that's been Mesira, that really the guy who's holding the shtar now acquired the rights to it simply by acquiring the shtar, simply by taking possession of the shtar. The machlokas between our Mishnah and the Braisa that we cited at the beginning of this year is whether you have to bring a proof to substantiate that. So our Mishnah holds no, therefore any Yosef and Shimon is holding the shtar is allowed to collect with it. The Braisa holds yes, therefore any Yosef and Shimon is holding the shtar is not allowed to collect with it. We need him to bring a raya that he actually took the shtar in order to enable him to collect with it. Says the Gemara of Elohad Tanya, Kishem Shemotzi'in Hein Shtar Chov Alacherim, just like these Yosef ben Shimons can present a shtar chov on somebody else, Kach Motzi'in Ze Al Ze. Now we say that they're also allowed to present a shtar chov one against the other. Our Mishnah said that they're not allowed to present the Shtar Chov one against the other, because our Mishnah had been concerned, we don't know who's the Malve and we don't know who's the Love. So for example, what did we say? We had said, so let's see in the Gemara, what are they arguing about? So, but Micah Miflegi, because when Shtar Lelove, Vafel Pishain Malve Imo Kamiflegi. We're arguing whether you write a Shtar for the Love even if the Malve is not with him. Tana didan savar, and this we saw a couple of days ago. Tana didan savar, our Tana of the Mishnah holds that kosvin shtar lelove ve'afal pishein malve imo, that we write a shtar for the love even if the malve is not with him, and therefore you could pull the following shtick. Zimnin de ozel agabe safra visadi, maybe you'll go in front of a sofer and witnesses v'yamri lehu, and you'll say to them, kisvu li shtara de be'ina lemezaf me Yosef ben Shimon Chavri, write me, one Yosef ben Shimon A, will go to a sofer and aid them and say, write me a shtar chov, because I want to borrow money from Yosef ben Shimon B, my friend, ubasar de kosvi v'chsimi le, nikita le, and after they write and they sign the shtar, he's going to take the shtar, v'yomer le, havli meya de yazafta minoi. He's going to turn the tables, he's going to go to the other Yosef ben Shimon and say, okay, now give me the $100 that you borrowed from me. Because the halacha is that kosven shtar lelove, va'afal pi she'ein malve imo, that we write a shtar for the love even though the malve is not with him. So one Yosef ben Shimon could pretend that he's going to be the love, he'll get the shtar chov written, and then he'll go and now act as the malve and try to collect from the other Yosef ben Shimon. That's why our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to present the shtar from one Yosef and Shimon onto the other. But Tana Brosavar, but the other Tana holds that in Kosvin Shtar Lelove ad shei malve imo, that you don't write the Shtar for the Love until the Malve is with him. Now, if you're not going to write the Shtar for the Love until the Malve is with him, then we understand why each Yosef and Shimon is allowed to present the Shtar Chov against the other. Because this Takala is never going to happen. It's never going to be that you're going to pretend that you're the Love, that you're going to pretend that you're going to be the Love, and then you're going to flip the tables and try to collect with a Shtar. Because if you're not writing the Shtar for the Love until the Malve is with him, we know which Yosef ben Shimon's the Love, which Yosef ben Shimon is the Malve, and therefore this Takala will never happen. So that's the Machlokas between our Mishnah and this Brisa on that second point of whether Yosef ben Shimon's are allowed to present Shtarei Chov one against the other. Now, we had said like this, Nimza la'echad ben Shtarosav, if somebody finds among his Shtaros, Shtaro Yosef ben Shimon Perua, that the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon is parua, that the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon is paid off, then shtaros shneim peruim, then the shtaros of both Yosef ben Shimon's are paid off, because we don't know, it could be that they're both paid off, and therefore he can't collect from anybody. So says the Gemara, taima denimtza, that the reason that he's not able to collect from Yosef ben Shimon is because it's nimsa, because he finds a shtar in his possession that says that the chov is repaid. Holo nimsa, but if he did not find a shtar in his possession that says that one of these chovs is repaid, matzi mapik, then he would be able to collect. But how could he collect from any of these Yosef ben Shimon's? Va'anan, but you taught me in the Mishnah, v'lo achar yotzi yachol lahotzi aleihem shtar chov. You taught me in the Mishnah that if there are two Yosef ben Shimon's in the city, then you can't present a shtar against either of these Yosef ben Shimon's, because it could be the other guy who actually owed you the money. So why do you tell me that it's only in a case where I find a shtar in my possession that says that the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon is repaid, that I'm not able to collect from either one because it might be the chov of each one that's been repaid? Our Mishnah said that even without the shtar in my possession that says that the chov of one of them is repaid, even if there are only two Yosef ben Shimon's, I still can't collect from either one of them because I don't know which one is the love. So says the Gemara that over here we're talking about, so Amar Rav Yirmiya, so Tanan, Amar Rav Yirmiya b'mishulashin. Ah, why can I collect from Yosef ben Shimon? Because here, instead of writing only Yosef ben Shimon, I wrote Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov. So I wrote three generations in the shtar, so I'm not mesupak on which Yosef ben Shimon which Yosef ben Shimon was the borrower. But says the Gemara, v'nechse tavra v'shmei deman dekasev. Aye, but the point of the case is that you find a shtar in your possession that says that the shtar of Yosef ben Shimon is repaid. But if the Shtar of Yosef ben Shimon is written three generations up, then Mestama the Tavra, then Mestama the receipt is also written three generations up. So the receipt should say the Shtar of Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov was repaid. So says the Gemara. So Amar Rav Oshia, Mishalashim Bishtar, Vei Mishalashim Bishover. We're obviously talking about a case where we went three generations up in the Shtar, but we didn't go three generations up in the Shover. So in the Shtar, I wrote Yosef and Shimon ben Yaakov was the Love. But in the Shover, it only says Yosef ben Shimon. And I don't know whether it was Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov or Yosef ben Shimon ben Reuven. And therefore, I can't collect from either of them. Abaya Amar, and Abaya says like this, Hachi Kamar, Nimsa Lelova Bein Shtarosav, if a Lova finds among his Shtaros that say, Shtarosha Yosef Ben Shimon Alai Parua, if a Lova finds among his Shtaros a Shtar that says that the Shtar of Yosef Ben Shimon has been repaid, Shtaroshneim Paruim, then the Shtaros of both of them are considered to be repaid. So what does this mean? So says the Rashbam in the wide lines over here. So it says Masnisin Kishanimtsu Bebeis Love Mairi. We're talking about where the Shtar is found in the house of the Love, Vachiktani. Nimtsa Lelove Echad Bein Shtaros of Shovar. If the Love finds a Shovar in his possession, Shashtar Shaya Nosha Bo Yosef Ben Shimon Parua, that the Shtar that Yosef Ben Shimon borrowed with is repaid, who Vayushne Yosef Ben Shimon Noshim Bo, and there were two Yosef Ben Shimons who loaned him money, the Ilema Zea Shovar Hayushneim Nifram Imenu Shtarosam, and without this Shovar, both of the Yosef Ben Shimons could collect from the money that the Love borrowed, Kiduk Minon Shemi Cholom Losi Shtar Chov Alacherim. Because remember, we had said that Yosef Ben Shimons can collect with promissory notes on other people. The Achsha Bezeh Shover Hurachas Kasam. However, with this one Shover that the Love has in his possession, that says that I repaid the obligation, the debt that I owe to Yosef Ben Shimon, we undermine both of their Shtaros. Why? De Kaimelon Yad Bal Hashtar Ala Tachtona. Because we hold that the Bal Hashtar has the lower hand. Uchsheyotzi Kol Echad Meam Shtaro. And when each one presents the Shtar to the Love, Omer Lo, the Love will say, Hine Shover Alav. That here's the Shover. Because so with one Shover, he can knock out two Shtaros. Because both Malva's names are Yosef and Shimon. This guy has a Shover that says, I repaid the loan that I owe to Yosef and Shimon. So when each one comes to collect, then the guy can knock them both out. So it's amazing that he could have $200 in obligations, a shover for $100, and he could knock out both of these obligations. Says the Gemara, Umiyu Nirba Einai Shem Shneim Ba'am Bar Shah, if they both come with power of attorney, Zemize Alalove, Yichol Nigvos Echas Minashtaros Manashach Minalove, then you could collect at least $100 from the Love. Why? Because the Love admits that he only paid $100 back. What the Love is saying is, you have no raya that you're the guy that I actually still owe $100 to. That's why you can't collect from me. But he agrees that he owes $100 to somebody. He's just saying, I'm judgment proof, because you can't prove to me that you're the guy that I owe the money to. So if they were smart, what they would do is they would write a power of attorney to one another, and they would basically form a joint venture for the purposes of collecting the chov. They would collect $100 and at least split the $50 among them. Split the $100 among them, each of them get $50. But that's what it means. That's the way Abaya explains this case in the Gemara, that if the Love has a Shtar that says that I repaid the Shtar of Yosef and Shimon, then he is able to promote himself as if he's paid off both of them. Neither of them can collect unless they come with Arshah, unless they come with a power of attorney. All right, so let's finish up. So Kate said, Yasu, so what should the Yosef and Shimons do if they want to be able to bring a Shtar Chov one against the other? Yishal Shalu, they should go up three generations. Tanaim Ayushneim Kohanim, and then we said, or you could write a Simon, or you could write that both of them are Kohanim. So says the Gemara, Tanaim Ayushneim Kohanim Yichtavu Doros. What if both of them were Kohanim? Or Tosfa says, what if both of them were Yisraelim? So they don't have any distinguishing characteristics, because they both have the same grandfather name, and they both have the same physical characteristics, so there's no distinguishing physical characteristic, and they're both Kohanim, or Levim, or Yisraelim. What do you do? So the Gemara says, just go up more generations. Ultimately, you're going to hit a generation where the names of their forefathers differ, and that's the way we'll distinguish them in Shtaros. All right, says the next Mishnah. Omer Levno, if a person says to his son, Shtar ben shtarosai parua, a shtar among my shtaros has already been repaid. That I have a bunch of promissory notes, one of them has already been repaid. And we don't know which is the one that has been repaid. Shtaros kulam peruim, then the shtaros of all of them are considered to be repaid, except for one that he said is vadai not repaid. Now nimtza leechad sham shnayim. If one guy has two shtaros there, in other words, somebody borrowed twice, and the guy who died has two promissory notes against him, and he said that one of them is paid off, then a gadol parua v'akatan eina parua. Then the larger of the promissory notes is considered to be paid off, and the smaller of the promissory notes is the one that's considered to be outstanding. Again, as we have seen just now, and we've continued to see over the past couple of days, yad bal hashtar al hatachtona. The bal hashtar has the lower hand, therefore he could collect only the lower amount, not the higher amount, not the greater amount. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, shtar lecha biyadi parua. A shtar of yours that I have in my hands is parua, hagadol parua, v'akaton eina parua. The larger one, the greater amount, is deemed to have been repaid. The smaller one is not deemed to have been repaid. Chov lecha biyadi parua, the chov, the obligation that you have in my hand has been repaid. Shtaros kulam pruim, then all of the shtaros are considered to be repaid. Why would that be? The Rashbam explains, because chov lecha biyadi is mashma, masha ata chayavli, whatever you owe me is deemed repaid. Vafilu kosav achov balvos dakos b'shtaros harbe. Even if that chov, even if that overall obligation might be broken down into many smaller loans, evidenced by many smaller shtaros, chov is a descriptor for all of the obligations in the aggregate, not only a single shtar, not only an obligation, not only an obligation evidenced by a single shtar. So Amar Ravina LaRava, so says Ravina to Rava, Elameata, Sode Mechura Lecha, if I say, oh, I sold my field to you, but we don't know which field was sold to you, then Sode Gdola Mechura Lo, then we assume that it's the larger field which was sold to him. But sade sheyeshli mechura lecha. But if I say that sade sheyeshli, a field that I have, is sold to you, kala sados mechurin lo, then is it the case that we assume that all of his fields were sold to him? And the Rashbam explains, in the times of the Gemara, it was the derech to refer to many fields, multiple fields, as sade, as a field. So if you're going to tell me that chov means all of the obligations that you owe me, be they evidenced by a single shtar, be they evidenced by multiple shtaros, so if I use a lashon of sadeh mechura lecha, are we to assume that all of my fields are sold to you? That's a ridiculous assumption. That's a ridiculous result. So says the Gemara, no, that's not the halacha, because hasam yad balashtar ala tachtona. Over there, the balashtar, the balashtar is ala tachtona. In other words, where there's a malveh who says that the obligation has been repaid, then we deem all the obligations to have been repaid, because again, yad balashtar, the malve, the yad amalve, is ala tachtona. However, by sados, it's the flip side. The mocher is muchzuk on all the sados. The lokeach is the guy who wants to break the chazaka of the mocher, so he has to come and claim that, he has to come and prove which of the sados was actually sold to him. So there's a basis for distinguishing between these two cases. Okay, says the next Mishnah, and this discussion is going to carry us until the end of this year and into the next couple of days. Samalves chavero al yedei arev. If a person, first line of the Mishnah, very cryptic, if a person lends money to his friend al yedei arev with a guarantor, lo yifra min arev, he cannot collect from the arev. We're going to see in the Gemara what this means is lo yifra min arev tchila, that you can't collect from the guarantor as a primary obligor, that the guarantor is only functioning as a true backstop. The simple mashmos of the Mishnah is that you can't collect from the guarantor at all, in which case the Gemara is going to say, well then, what's the guy guaranteeing if you can't collect from him at all? So lo yifra min arev, okay. So vim amar lo, however, if the arev said, al menashe efra, if the malva said, vim amar lo, al menashe efra mimi she'ertze, on the condition that I can pay, that I can get paid from whoever I want, then yifrmin arev. Then you can collect from the arev. You will be able to collect from the arev. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says like this. The halacha is as follows. Em yesh nechasim lelove, if there are karkos that belong to the love, then ben kach u ben kach lo yifra min arev. Whether you made this stipulation that you could collect from wherever you want, whether you didn't make the stipulation that you could collect from wherever you want, you have to collect from the love, you cannot collect from the arev, because karka, the reason that the Rashbam says that when Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel says nechasim, he really means karka, because real property is different from metaltalin, in that metaltalin can always be secreted away, you can always hide it. So if somebody comes to the love and says, oh, you owe me money, the love could say, I don't have money. And so, okay, you don't have money, but you have a watch. Give me your watch. Well, he could hide his watch and make sure that you can't find it. Karka, you can't hide. So you always see that this guy has karka that you could go collect from. So if the love has karka that we see that he has the money to collect from, you can't go collect from the arev. V'chein haya, Rav Shingam Liel Omer, and so too Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel used to say that arev leisha b'ksubasa, if a person guarantees the payment of a ksuba for a woman via bala magarsha, and her husband was divorcing her, so in other words, she would have been entitled to collect the ksuba, yadirena hana, we should make the husband take a mudar hana, take a neder hana, that he's not going to have hana from his wife. And the Rashbam explains that it should be a mudar hana al das rabim, because a mudar hana al das rabim is ein lo hafara. You can't reverse the neder hana that you took al das rabim. Why? Shemayasu kanunya al nechasim shelzeh v'yachzer shalishto. Because we're afraid that you might do like this, that the husband and the wife might have a little scam going. They know that the payment of the ksuba is guaranteed by the guarantor. So the husband might divorce his wife, thus entitling the wife to collect the ksuba. The husband's going to claim he doesn't have any property, he doesn't have any money, so he can't afford to pay the ksuba. The guarantor is going to step in and pay off the ksuba. Then the husband's going to take back his wife, and they're going to live off of the ksuba payment that this lo yitzlach guaranteed over here. So to make sure that this doesn't happen, if you're divorcing your wife and the ksuba is guaranteed by a third party, you have to be moder anah from your wife, swear off any anah from her, therefore you're not going to be able to take her back and pull off this scam. Says the Gemara, my taima, why is it that you can't collect from the arev? Because we thought that when the Mishnah said, well, you're from an arev, it means that you can't collect from the arev at all. So if you can't collect from the arev at all, why? Of what value is the guarantee? So Rabbi Rav Yosef, Tamri Tavayu, Rabbi and Rav Yosef say like this, that Gavra Ashlimasli, you handed me a man, Gavra Ashlimaslach, I handed you a man. And the Rashbam says what this means is that the guarantor is not guaranteeing the obligation in the event that the love is around and doesn't have the wherewithal to pay. He's only guaranteeing the obligation in the event that the love can't be found at all. So, for example, if the love absconds to Latin America, or if the love dies, then the guarantor is saying, oh, well, now that you don't have a love to go to, now you could come to me. So says the Gemara, Maskeflor of Nachman, Haidina de Parsoi. This is like a Persian halacha. This is like a crazy halacha that makes more sense. So the Gemara takes this very literally and says, Adaraba Basar Arva Azal. No, the Persians actually always enable you to collect from the Persians always enable you to collect from the Arev, even if the Lova does have Nechasim. So he says, No, I didn't mean that this is actually the Persian halacha. I meant Ella Beidina de Parsoi to Yavi Taima Lamosayu. I mean, this is something that has no time. This is a Milsa below Taima. This is something that has no time, and says the Rashbam, Shagam Zed, Zavar Shein Hagunhu. This is also something that's totally inappropriate. Lomar Shala Yifram and Arev Klal, if you can't collect from the Arev at all, Imkain Maya Hanis Arvus. So how does the arvus help at all? How does being an arev help at all? Elavade lahachi nichnas bi arvus shem ein nechasim lelove sheyishalem lo arev tachta vesamamon. It's not only so that if the love is not there physically, then you could go to the arev. It's that even if the love is there physically, but if he doesn't have any money to repay, then you can collect from the, then you could collect from the Arev. And the Gemara says, yes, that's what the Mishnah means. Elam Rav Nachman, my lo yifram in Arev. What does it mean in the Mishnah when it says that you can't collect from the Arev? Lo yitva Arev tchila. You can't go after the Arev first. The guarantee should be structured as a backstop, not as a primary obligation. We have foundation in the Gemara. Good. So says the Gemara, Tanya, Tani Nami Yachi, Amal Ves Chavera Ayyadei Arev, Lo Yitva Arev Tchila, V'im Amar Al Menashe Ephraim, Misha Erza. However, if you say, if the Malva stipulates that I'm making this loan on the condition that I could pay, that I could get paid from whoever I want, then Yitva Arev Tchila. Then, because you signed on then to function as a primary obligor, not only as a guarantor. So Amar Rav Huna, Minayin Lo Arev De Mishtabed. How exactly is this Arev Mishtabed? Like, this Arev, when he agrees to be a guarantor, he's just agreeing verbally to be a guarantor. So how does this work? Usually Amira is not sufficient to obligate somebody in something tangible. So how is it that this Amira actually works? So there's a basis in the Psukim. D'chziv Anochi Erevenu Miyadi Tvekshenu. When the brothers were pleading with Yaakov Avinu to send Binyamin down to Mitzrayim to meet with Yosef, Reuven and then Yehuda said, I'll function as a guarantor. I'll function as a guarantor. Okay. So says the Gemara, Maska for Rav Chista, Hakablanos. But this is considered to be an Arev Kablan. So and we'll see that an Arev Kablan is like a super Arev. That's like an extra special level of being an Arev. And an Arev Kablan is when you use the Lashon of Tain. When the Arev actually says, oh, give to him. Then that's an Arev Kablan, which takes upon himself a super level of responsibility. But how do I know that a regular Arev can accept that level of responsibility even with Amira Bialma? Just parenthetically, the Ritva says Yehuda wasn't an Arev. Yehuda was actually the Lovek because he was saying, give me Binyamin. So how was he being an Arev for Binyamin's return? So the Ritva explains, no, what Yehuda was saying was, give Binyamin to my brothers who already asked you, Yaakov, and I'll guarantee his successful return. See, he was functioning as an Arev. But says the Gemara, how can you prove anything from this? This is an Arev Kablan. Tichsiv Tana Oso Al Yadi Vani Ashivenu, because he used the Lashon of Tainlo, and Tainlo is an Arev Kablan. Say Elamar Rabbi Yitzchak Me'acha. We learn it from the following pasuk. Lokach Bigdo, they took the begadim of an Arev, ki Arev Zar, because he guaranteed the obligation of a third party. Uviad Nachria, and because of the third party, because of an alien Chableu, they took security. V'omar Bini, Imaravta L'Reyacha, if you have guaranteed an obligation for your friend, Takata Lazar Kapecha, you have stuck out your palms for the benefit of a stranger. Nokashta Bimre Picha, if you snared somebody with your words, in other words, if you insulted somebody, Nilchadit Bamre Picha, then you are caught you're caught by your words. So Seifo Bini V'Natzel. If a person wants to collect from you, then go abase yourself. V'rav reyacha, and treat him as a ruler. So what does all this mean? So imama yeshlcha biyadcha. If you have money, then ater lo pisas yad. Then you're basically gonna have to. Then you're basically gonna have to open up your palm and pay back the loan because an arev is obligated to repay a loan. V'imav, and if we're not talking about where you guaranteed a monetary obligation, but rather where you offended somebody, harbeyalav rayim, that you should gather a bunch of people together and you should ask the guy for mechila. Says the Gemara, Amar Amemar, Arev de Mishtabed, whether an Arev is Mishtabed or not, is Machlokas Rav Yehuda Rav Yossi. It's a Machlokas Rav Yehuda Rav Yossi, which we saw a couple of days ago on the idea of Esmachta. Rav Yossi, the Amar Esmachta Kanya, according to Rav Yossi, he says that Esmachta Kanya, Arev Mishtabed, the Arev is Mishtabed himself. In other words, the Arev really doesn't believe that he's going to be called on to repay the loan because the Arev believes that the Lova is going to have the money. But even though it's an Esmachta, he's still Kanya, he still commits himself. Rav Yehuda, the Amar Esmachta lo Kanya, but according to Rav Yehuda, it says that Esmachta is not Kanya, so Arev lo Mishtabed, and the Arev not going to be Mishtabed, just like any other Esmachta, which is not Kone. So Amar Rav Ashi la Meimar, Hamaisim b'chol yom de Esmachta lo Kanya, but we know that Lach is Esmachta lo Kanya, the Arev Mishtabed, yet the Arev is Mishtabed himself. Say, Elamar Rav Ashi, Bahu Ano, Dekam Emin le Gomer Mishtabed Nafshei. It's not an Indian of Esmachta, it's that you get a special Hana that on account of this guarantee, the Malva is loaning the Lova money, therefore you're Meshabed yourself. And the Rashbam says that this helps even with Stam Devarim, even with Stam Devarim, because it's as if the Malva is the Shliach of the Arev. Because the Milva would never happen without the Arev. The Malva is therefore considered to be the Shliach of the Arev, and therefore it's as if the Malva is loaning the money to the Arev, and then the Arev is on loaning the money to the Lova. That's how this works with the Ana, that the loan is being facilitated. He is gladly accepting upon himself this responsibility. We'll leave off over here. The rabbi is back. Shabbos, he will pick up here tomorrow. I think he's saying Shir on Sunday as well. I will not be because I have to leave really early for a visiting day, but I will be back on Monday, God willing, for the last daf in the Masechta. Let's go.